I'm just going to do it one more time.
Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches! Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches!
The problem is, Jeremy, we don't have any show prep. That's the biggest issue for tonight. Coming off a hot episode, and we have prepared nothing to follow up.
Yes! Okay?
And that's the important part, is that we're going to really test our comedic geniuses in all respects tonight to see if we can do this.
In all.
Welcome to Quality Time, everybody. We're here again tonight on this episode of Quality Time. Jeremy cannot help himself but adjust his beer immediately, and his mic is so hot. Do you hear that? That's the sound of a Colt 45, something that nobody that has ever had more than $6 has ever bought. But my brother is drinking Colt 45. Jeremy,
people on the streets love Colt 45.
Yes. On the street.
I'm welcomed here by both my co-hosts. First of all, introduce Miss Kimberly Ambrose. Kimberly,
hey,
how are you doing?
I'm doing so good. I got a nap in before I came here, so I'm like prime and ready.
You did? You look rejuvenated, like more than normal.
Nice. Well, good, because it's a lie. But it's good to feel like I look like I feel good. That's nice.
She is the youngest part of this broadcast because she is still under 30.
Hey, not for long, am I right?
Hey.
I never really thought of it like this, but we can talk about that in just a moment. I'm also joined by the other host of Quality Time, Mr. Jeremy Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who do we have on the show tonight?
Tonight, this is Stan Lee, the maker of Marvel Comics.
Whoa, Stan Lee!
That's
oh my God.
Right. And I have had more poontang than most NBA basketball teams.
It's a fact.
And the best part is, I just did it by stealing from DC Comics and just making different characters with the same exact superpowers.
Do you think one of two things? Do you think A, women call to reserve his face like a table so they can sit on it, and two, that his mustache just smells like pussy permanently.
Like a glazed donut that hasn't been washed since 1967. Thank you very much. Get your handlebars on my mustache and ride, ride, ride. I'm Stan Lee.
Let's raise our glasses to Stan Lee, who's been getting more pussy than your dad since
I'm
forever.
140.
To Stan Lee.
I've been making comics since 1847. I'm actually immortal, much like Wolverine.
Literally a vampire.
Some people ask me, what does Excelsior mean? That is the first thing I say every time I reach a sexual climax. Excelsior! And that is the story of Stan Lee. So, Jeremy, Kimberly, my name is Eric Woodworth. Welcome Ooh. To Quality Time, another episode. Coming off one of our hottest episodes in history,
yes.
Not even a question, our most downloaded episode, the Dave Schoffer special. Oh, my gosh.
So far.
Very, very exciting. Thank you guys for tuning in and giving us the support. Some things that we need to, we got a lot of good feedback. Mm-hmm. We got some feedback from some of our fans.
Mm-hmm.
One of our fans messaged us on the Facebook page, which, by the way, you should definitely like us on Facebook. It's Quality Time with Eric and Jer. We love you, Kimberly. But Kimberly
hey.
Has a very huge picture on Quality Time right now.
Is she orange or green?
She is purple.
I'm purple.
She's purple. She's magenta.
Oh, yas.
But we got a very special message on the Facebook Messenger that said, I have no idea who Dave Schoffer or Chris Restivo is, but this is the funniest episode you guys have ever done. So big ups to Tatiana for giving us the props earlier this week. It was very exciting. We had a lot of good comments on some of the threads this week.
I think I got an off comment from Samantha Kelly saying, only the real freaky guys in the world come on to me. So
Well, I'm glad you have kept with that.
And I just want to say my comings and goings. Comings, get it?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, like you're going from place to place. I get it.
Like most of the time that I try to like get with like lesbians, they most of the time either like, you know, do that restraint order,
mm-hmm.
or I'll say like, what are my chances? And they'll say, 1 in a million, and I'm like, so there is a chance.
Hell yeah. Go so, right back to that Dumb and Dumber line. I like that. Yeah.
Because it's not like there's no chance.
But there is a chance. And by the way, Samantha Kelly, I just want you to know, if you ever go back to being straight, you can do better than Jeremy. I just want you to know that, like, of all...
the worst of the bottom feeders, that's me.
There's no way she switches sides and is just like, you know who I need to fuck?
A dude covered in psoriasis who dressed like a rape clown.
The man with the smallest penis I could find.
What if that
and
was...
definitely a man tits of at least of an A cup. So.
I need a guy in my life who has the word rape on his business card. That's what That's what I need more than anything.
First of all, he literally just made rape his business. That's a guy I want to talk to. You put rape on your business card, bro?
Everybody knows I'm just a catamite anyway, so I'm just, you know, I'm the ultimate fag hag guy, so what can I say?
Well, that much we can totally agree on. So, yeah, we got a lot of good feedback from the Dave Show for episode. One of the things I got a little bit grilled on is that we didn't get into the Dave Show for dick pic enough.
I feel like there was so much resistance.
And you didn't even mention that you made a giant picture of his dick pic for your comedy
I did,
thing.
Yeah, that is true. So, by the way, if you listen to the Dave Show for episode, last episode, by the way, go back in our archives. It's episode 41 right now, and if you're listening to this, this is episode 42. So go back and give the Dave Show for episode, because it's one of our better works,
yes.
And Dave Schofer is infamous. Chris Restivo did bring it up that Dave Schofer has a dick pic. It's a very sensitive subject for him. And yes, he sent a dick pic to a local comic that might have got circulated to all of us. So yes,
and then she died of cancer.
And then she, it was not to her. It was not to her.
It was not to her.
But I kind of wish it was. I kind of wish it was. She deserved to see that dick pic more than anybody.
First thing that it got called was the Space Needle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, out of all the dick pics I've seen in my life, it's not the most impressive, but it's not the worst. You know, if it was me...
I've seen worse.
If it was me, I would have gone for... you know, spatial recognition.
Were
you
about to say spatial reconstructive surgery and just get a new dick?
Buy a Micro Machines car, say it's a Matchbox, right?
That's right. Foreground, middle ground, background.
Exactly.
Yes.
Buy a plantain. Put it next to your peepaw. Say, hey, check out this banana I just got from there. And then you say, whoa. Let her figure it out when you show up, okay?
Yes.
Just be like, well, clearly I'm an avid plantain person, so that's on you. That is on you.
Ma'am.
So yeah, we didn't mention the Dave Show for dick pic, but it's out there. I did go to Color Till Drink Till We're Funny's Halloween party one year with a giant printout of Dave Schofer's dick pic, where I cut out the head of the penis, and then I was a giant cell phone picture, and my head was the head of Dave Schofer's penis.
That's so amazing.
It was a pretty good night.
Thank you, Fast Signs.
You know, I worked at Fast Signs. Yes, that was a thing. Yeah, I gotcha.
Hey, at least it's not Kinko's.
That is literally a reason to work there. Thank you. Is just to get the Halloween costume out of it.
It helped me out through many, many things. Not monetarily, but in every other way, it worked out for us. Exciting news, guys, just came out. Jeremy has officially been added to the Murder Mystery cast.
Yes.
Let's give it up for Jeremy.
Woo! It's about to get a lot more uncomfortable, y'all.
They have no idea what they've signed on for,
do they? They don't.
So,
They're like, maybe we could just like have him come in and show up on time and do what we say. And I'm like, why would any of those things happen?
So Kimberly and I are part of a murder mystery troupe called Die Laughing Productions,
run
by Joe Robinson and Rob Mayer. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of, I've kind of put in the word, and you've put in the word for Jeremy to join the murder mystery. And yes, truthfully, the only reason he's never been able to join our murder mystery troupe, which is a fantastic show, you should check it out. Our next show is at what, Magoobies?
Is at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, yeah. August 11th and 12th. We have three shows. You have three chances to see us. Now, here's the deal with this, you guys. Usually we do shows in Virginia, all of Virginia Beach. We go all over the place, D.C. There are not a lot of chances for you to see us locally. Mm-hmm. So Baltimore Comedy Factory, August 11th and 12th. And if for whatever reason your feet got chopped off that weekend and you cannot make it, which is dumb because we have three shows that weekend, the next month in September, we're at Magoobies.
Yeah, so come out to the Baltimore Comedy Factory. By the way, if you listen to this podcast and you enjoy us and you think we're funny, the murder mystery is like adding five more hilarious people to it. It's interactive.
Five more funnier people.
People who are, there are audience members that get a role. So if you talk to Joe Robinson or Katie as you come in, you could be part of the play and get in on this action.
Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock and, yes, and Baltimore's own Tommy Sinbazo.
Tommy Sinbazo. God
damn. And you even have a black character.
We have a few.
Yeah,
it feels great. And here's the deal. We have different shows.
Yeah.
So if you come see us at the Comedy Factory August 11th and 12th, you're going to see Sing for Your Life, a karaoke competition where fictional murder happens and you have to solve it. If you come see us at Magoobies in September, you're going to see us do Back to the 80s, where we time travel back to the motherfucking 80s.
Yeah. It is. We have about five or six different shows right now that we rotate through. So it's definitely worth. And honestly, if you've seen one of these already and this is a production you've already seen, I can guarantee you it will not be the same thing.
Yes.
Because Justin adds a flavor in the way that his brain works.
Every time.
Adds something completely different every time. It's very unexpected. There's improv stuff that happens. You should come there to the Baltimore Comedy Factory, Die Laughing Productions. Check it out. Jeremy, you're part of the show. And something...
Oh, my God. Oh,
I'm
my God.
Very excited about it.
Horror.
But at the same time, Jeremy...
And moral terror are your friends.
One of the major things that we've never gotten into is that Justin Schlegel has had it out for you. He hasn't wanted you to be part of the show because he's terrified of you.
Legitimately frightened.
And you must make a friend with horror.
From past experiences. Now, Justin is the lead in our show, and Jeremy, I guess this was a few years ago, came and pulled a little stunt at 98 Rock, which is where Justin works at the morning show.
Pulled a little stunt. Is that what the judge called it?
Yeah. He pulled a little stunt. I don't know if I should just give my retelling of it, because this is what I got. First of all, when Jeremy does something, whether it's a stunt or anything, I have to preface this. He doesn't run it by me.
Nobody lives in a fishbowl.
Jeremy just does things. It comes out, and I learn of them. Even if I'm part of one of a Jeremy Woodworth stage production, he gives me just the information I need to know for my part, mm-hmm. but does not ruin whatever surprise or whatever the joke is, so I can also experience it live with everyone else.
I was in good with T-Brad, so that I think I could get away with almost anything with me being... what's my retarded character? The Amazing Benny?
Why are you asking me your own character name?
Who's that one of them characters I play?
Who's that guy I developed?
Yeah, your retarded character, Matt Kaiser. I get it, okay?
Totally unrelated. He is a master of comedy, okay?
That's a real inside cut if you're in the Baltimore comedy scene.
If he makes a comment and listens to every Podbean, I will personally go to 7-Eleven and apologize. So, okay, I made a mistake of telling T-Brad that for my next Amazing Benny that I was going to be a magician, not a musician, a magician, and I was somehow going to let my arm on fire during the live project. He's like, no fire.
No fire.
Like,
no
come
fire.
Come on. I use enough, you know, aluminum foil and anything. I'm not going to let my arm on
he
fire.
He had to say to a grown-up man, no fire.
So to even go further back of what Jeremy does for comedy and what Jeremy considers comedy.
Right.
Danger. Danger is part of comedy. Damn it.
The joke is always going to be on you. He does performance pieces. He has characters like Vietnam Tom, the Amazing Benny, who
Kevin
is
the
a
emo.
Mentally challenged gentleman, and then Kevin the Emo, who is a emo person, and Bizarro Michael Friedman.
Who did I get to rape as Pogo? Who was that kid? He like moved out of town.
Oh, it was Devin Green, and he Devin did Green. Not. That is a low light for his career because he's doing so much better.
But you know who the first person I asked to rape was, don't you?
Tom Myers. Yeah.
And he gave me that look like no.
Come
but
on.
he has the perfect bug eyes that when he gets upset, of course he would have been perfect.
That's a really good point, actually. I didn't think about that.
Last side note before we go on with the story.
And he is a real thespian.
At the end of this episode, we're going to have a special poll about what you would like to hear on future episodes, and we're going to throw it up on our Facebook page, and we'd like you to participate and vote on it. Stay tuned to the end of the show for that, because Tom Myers may or may not be one of the topics that we bring up. But moving on, Jeremy does these character pieces that we spoke of, and I never know what he's going to do. For instance, just to give you a little tidbit, he came up to Magoobies, which is a comedy club in the Baltimore area.
Where I work.
It's where Kimberly works.
And Justin Jones worked.
And many
but
people...
But not James Finn.
It's one of the two legit comedy clubs that we have around here that...
Big ups.
That about 500 comics vie for hosting and feature spots constantly. And Jeremy came up on the new talent competition that night and performed as Vietnam Tom. And he told me, he's like, I just need you to run background music. So I wore cut-off booty shorts and just came up there to be his background music and just play guitar.
No, but you are also Jeremy, my son. That was your character, was your son.
Well, I'm his son. Jeremy never prefaced this, so nobody in the audience knows this at all, right? So
he adds to it. He collaborates.
I get on stage, and I just start playing music. Now, as Jeremy entered, I got there before him, and as they're seating people, I see Jeremy walking in. I didn't know this was a thing, but Jeremy walks in on polio-style crutches, okay? I mean, like, crutches that, like, the arm crutches, right? Each one, and he's walking in, and people are, like, clearing the way, like, oh, excuse me, sir, and he's done up in old makeup, so he's got, like, a gray beard and everything, and everybody's very respectful, like, oh, help this guy out, help him out, right? This is Vietnam Tom, he's performing tonight. So, it's Jeremy's turn to get up.
Nothing's funnier than tricking people into treating you like you're handicapped.
Yes. So, and I have no idea about this, and Jeremy doesn't break character. At no time does he remove these. He just walks around like, excuse me, oh gosh, I gotta get through. And he finally gets to the part where it's his time, and so I get up on stage and I start playing guitar quietly, and they're kind of seeing Jeremy stage left slowly climb up and get on stage. And he gets to the top step, the second to last step to get on stage, and then he fucking face plants dead on the ground. Everybody goes, oh my God.
Was that Unger actually helping me out?
No, it wasn't. The owner of the club did not, I don't think, watch this at all, because I would be permanently banned from the place. So Jeremy gets up, and again, unbeknownst to me, has two blood capsules that he puts in his mouth.
Jesus.
So now he gets up and he starts coughing up blood into like a... And so he's bleeding. People are eating in the front row, right? Like people are eating chicken tenders and lovely light fare, and Jeremy's coughing up blood as part of the first minute of his act, and they're like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. And he goes through...
Make sure to tip your waitress.
And he does his best joke that he has, and there's some that don't get any laughs, and there's some that really do get laughs, and then it proceeds with him at the end taking the crutches, throwing him down, and then moonwalking off the stage. And everybody...
It's all fake.
And people were still on
board.
Don't
give him any money! He's just gonna spend it on drugs anyway!
So... That's just a regular Jeremy thing.
That's
right?
A regular old day in Jeremy's life.
He hasn't even been to Vietnam. He's lying.
Yes. So flash forward to...
keep in mind, Rob and Joe write every script with the help of Katie, I believe. And then we rehearse it. Now, when we rehearse
before we get to that, sorry. I need to preface why Justin is terrified of Jeremy.
Okay, fair enough. Yes.
So now we've established that Jeremy does performance art at the viewer's expense.
I'm a performance artist.
Jeremy has had...
Sometimes I wear clothing.
This was, I guess, we'll say for the sake of the story, it's 2015, okay? 2015, about 2 years ago. All of a sudden, Jeremy comes up to Justin, who is just fresh on the morning show, about a year and a half in, and he starts talking shit about Transformers and weirding him out at a public event. So he already has a baseline of, all right, Jeremy's a fucking psychopath, and he's talking shit about Transformers, and I'm terrified of him because he looks like Baby Huey as an adult with super duper retard strength, right? So I start getting text messages this one morning, and it was just like, dude, is that your brother on 98 Rock? And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I have no idea. There's something that's happening on the radio, and I'm not listening because I'm at work, because I go to work in the morning.
Who's the producer's name?
Scott.
It was Scott the producer's birthday.
Apparently, Jeremy thought it would be a wise idea to show up as his character, John Wayne Gacy, because he has a replica
of the
serial killer, John Wayne Gacy's Pogo the Clown, and he goes up to 98 Rock Studios to ask to be let in, and all I'm getting is constant messages like, dude, your brother's crazy, and I'm like, I have nothing to do with this. I have 10 messages from Justin Schlegel, who, by the way, did not have any contact with me. I have Twitter messages, which he had cut himself off from all social media, but he found a way to message me through someone else's Twitter that your brother is here and he's about to get escorted out by security. And I'm like, Justin, you know, I don't know anything about this.
I didn't even know that was on air when I was downstairs in the lobby.
So Jeremy, give us your take on this as you're dressed up as a murder clown going to 98 Rock.
A murder boy rape clown. Let's be very specific about that.
The poor guy who's the receptionist, he's like, hey, he's dressed up in full clown down here. Can you let him up? And they're like, obviously they're saying on the phone, no, keep him down. So I guess they put me on air, but they were like, dude, why did you think that on Scott's birthday you'd want a murder rape clown showing up for his birthday? I was like, and I tried to play it off as far as like, no, everybody asked for this because everybody loves Scott. So.
And they're like, fact, but we didn't ask for this at all.
At the same time, I think I could have gotten away with it if it was Josh's birthday. So, and Josh was totally cool with it because he was the first person I gave my card, my Pogo card to, and he gave it to Amelia, I think, a couple of years before after the M3 concert. And Amelia was reading, he's like, it says rape! It says rape!
Yeah, so everybody knows Jeremy has business cards when he dresses up as Pogo the Clown. And Pogo the Clown, it has like a unicorn on it. And a rainbow. And it says, Pogo the Clown, magic tricks, parties, and rape. And that's what his business card says.
To be fair, Pogo the Clown's business is rape.
Yes, it is true.
That makes sense.
I am not only a member of NAMBLA, I am the president.
You're the president of our hearts.
But like I was saying, so Rob and Joe.
One more thing. Damn it! I'm gonna let you go.
I want to portray what a shit show this is gonna be.
So
we're
Justin,
gonna do the whole show where we just shut down Kim during every scene.
I want This is.
It's this crucial. It's critical.
This is key to the story.
Yes.
Okay. So, I got one other message from Schlegel. This was about like 4 hours after I got the original like message, like, what the fuck is wrong with your brother? And then he goes, He's just like, he's only been on the show now, like the morning show, for about like 6 weeks. So he's basically the new guy on the show, right? I just got out of a meeting with my boss, and all I heard were the words "never fucking again." So
was that the general manager of all of 98 Rock?
Yes,
coming down on him.
The GM basically came down, and you got Justin in hot water because I also do comedy, and yeah, you did that.
And I hate to say, I am really a big Justin Schlegel fan because not only his stand-up, he really reaches out to the super nerdisms in me, from like Mad Max to Transformers. I'm not a Transformers guy, but at the same time, he really reaches out to the nerds.
Or his love of the movie Radio.
Yes, with people that have really bad teeth.
So. That he does. He loves Radio. That is an accurate statement.
So more than that, I have given him Transformer toys over the years, but at the same time, I still come off as Stalkerazzi. You know?
Well,
like,
it's
the
because
more love I give, the more I look like a complete freak and weirdo.
Well, it's because you make these Star Wars toys out of the flakes of skin and pubic hair that you pull out of your drain. Yeah, that's freaky. Okay.
I made this from my own hair out of love, and I want you to enjoy it in front of me, or else I'll kill you.
Okay. So, Kimberly, please keep on with the story.
Okay. So, Rob and Joe write the script, and Katie write the scripts. Then they present them to us, and we are allowed to do whatever we want to do with our characters as long as it stays within the plot line and the clues that are important to people guessing the mystery. So then we have rehearsal. Now, rehearsal is very critical because we all have really difficult schedules, and especially Schlegel. He has to be asleep by like at least 9 o'clock to get up at 3 a.m.
to do the morning show.
So we have a very tight schedule with this. Now, on top of that, some of the places we go are several hours away. It took us 7 hours to get to Virginia Beach the one time.
So
we leave at like 2:30, 3 in the afternoon for like a 7 o'clock show, and we usually have just enough time. We usually cut it just enough time, mm-hmm. even leaving that early. Now, throw Jeremy into all of this. Rob and Joe are going to freak the fuck out. Like, the first day, Rob's going to be like, he's on the road, right? Like, he left, right? Because we like to do that to Rob all the time. Like, 3 hours after we actually left. Like, yeah, just leaving now, Big Papa. Just want to let you... He's like, are you fucking serious?
Well, I want you to know that Justin has been legitimately terrified of you since that day, right?
Like, can I say success on your part, sir?
So he's scared of you. But on the opposite end, producer Joe Robinson truthfully loves Jeremy Woodworth. He loves Jeremy, and he likes him a lot. He gets that... by the way... I have a crazy brother, and so does Joe and Robbie Robinson. And no offense to Robbie, but listen, Robbie, you're a goddamn shitbag crazy person, okay?
We love you.
I love you to death.
Cut your bananas.
You're not as crazy as my brother, but
let
goddamn
me tell
it,
you
you're
about
crazy.
How much I love the Big Lebowski.
So at the same time, I think as Joe and I have become friends over the last couple of years, he kind of sees that I also have a crazy X Factor brother as well. So he gets that as well, right? So
I think behind every real good talented performer is a really crazy batshit brother. So, you know.
That is true. That is true. So
just ask Mark Wahlberg.
And behind every great serial killer is a batshit mother.
So you know why you're scared when you're alone? I do. I do.
So ever since we started this endeavor, I always thought Jeremy would be a perfect part to be part of the murder mystery, right?
Agreed.
I think he fits in our group just perfectly. But the star of our show, Justin, is absolutely terrified of him. And so we've kind of planted seeds over the years.
Yes, I'm trying to help with that.
Right? We've been at this like 2 years doing murder mysteries, right?
I'm a tiny, tiny little lady. Yeah. And I'm cool with Jeremy.
Yeah. I mean, you come here every week. He's not that scary.
I sit in a basement with this man.
You get Jeremy.
She keeps the taser in hand just in case.
Yeah, dude, I get it.
But she's not scared.
I just keep my keys in between my fingers like Wolverine claws. And we're fucking solid, dude.
Go for the eyes, eyes, balls.
Throat, right, Krav Maga.
So they know that Jeremy dresses up as a clown, and we have always kind of floated the idea of having Jeremy come up as the clown and just use him as a red herring in one of the murder mysteries. It'd be like, oh, the murder clown that's sitting right here? Yeah, probably not that important.
Now
not
that's
that important, right? Like, and just point to him constantly.
That's a real risk because we have a JonBenet Ramsey joke that we have to take out because the response is it's just been not great.
Oh yeah, there's a Back to the '80s show. We have a JonBenet Ramsey joke that falls so flat.
It's a little too soon. I mean, wait a couple more years and people will be cool with JonBenet Ramsey.
And it's so. The way that it's set up because they're talking about all these like you say a famous murder that happened before that one. I think it's OJ. And then they bring that up. So by the time they set the joke up, people are groaning before you get to the punchline. So it's almost like we're inviting them to have that reaction. But they're groaning at a joke. It's mere words. Now add you're a tall gentleman. Add a tall, bald, white gentleman dressed as a boy rape and murder clown. I don't know how that's going to go over better than the JonBenet Ramsey joke.
I don't.
You know, the day when I die and I go to hell and I get to meet Gacy in person and I just thank him. Thank you for making me so much as almost as famous as
you. That makes me want to cut your hand off. You want to thank John Wayne Gacy? He's a boy murderer.
Well, as soon as I meet him, he'll start raping me, but it's still at the same time. So.
And you know what? We have the advantage that he will be involved in the Halloween one. So if you come to that one and you have a problem with it, you kind of fucked up to start.
Yeah, you already fucked up if that's the case. Now, Joe called me a couple of weeks ago. I want to say like 2 weeks ago, because after all this groundwork we've laid out of getting Jeremy possibly in the murder mystery and saying, hey, he has a clown outfit. This is a good thing that we could do for the show.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Let me count the ways.
Joe Robinson calls me up and he goes, listen, I'm going to put on my Jim Robinson voice.
There it is.
All right. So look, listen, Eric, you're a big part of the show. All right. Like almost to the point where you're irreplaceable, which by the way, ego legitimately okay.
Showstopper.
So completely, my ego is on 10 when he's telling me this. Okay.
Stop it. Don't stop it.
So he goes, now listen, he was just like, when we have a murder mystery, he was just like, we can do it, but we can replace Schlegel. We can get somebody else good who can do that. We can replace almost anybody in the show, but we can't fucking replace you, all right? Fact. Because the shit that you do is completely out of control. And he was just like, I was thinking of having a backup come in for when you can't do a show. He's like, I know you're busy and everything. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea. And at the same time, I'm thinking in the back of my head, he's going to pick somebody so fucking funny that I'm not going to be able to roll with this. And I was just like, so I preemptively answered. I was just like, I get it. You're thinking of Stavros Halkias because Stavros, by the way,
loves getting naked.
Will do the things that I do on stage.
And he has the best Instagram ever.
Yes. By the way, Stavros Halkias, very, very funny comedian.
Stavy Baby 2.
I was like,
but can he play guitar?
I was just like, you're going to bring in Stav. And I'm like, I'm going to lose my spot. So now I'm going to have to work extra hard because that's competition for me,
sure.
Right? Like, I'm terrified if Stav gets on the show because Stav's fucking funny, right? So he's like, nah, I wasn't thinking about Stavros. He was just like, I'm thinking the only other person that'll do the shit that you'll do that'll actually do it because Stavros lives in New York. I was thinking that we bring in your brother. And I'm like,
James Belushi.
You're gonna bring in Jeremy fucking Woodworth for this production?
My brother?
By the way, I'm excited because I love my brother to death.
Sorry.
And if there's one person that could do the things that I do, I mean, I'm most inspired by Jeremy, right? Like, he started me off on this terrible... My two biggest comedy influences, if I'm being honest, are Jeremy and my dad, right?
So, and Chris Elliott.
Those are the three. That's it. When he talks about bringing him in, he was like, well, do you think your brother could learn some of the songs that you do and some of the stuff like that? I was just like, well, he's not very musically talented, but I could probably teach him. By the way, Jeremy is super music. That's a joke for you guys, just for the simple fact that Jeremy is super musically talented, and much better than me.
Can I go out on a limb and say that you said that Joe kind of shit on Kim the last time and said that she was irreplaceable? And I just she was replaceable. And I just want to say that Kim...
He would disagree with that.
And I just want to say that Kim, in all of her defense, if she went for a defense, which he doesn't need a defense, could say, how about replacing these?
Well,
that's what, if I was a lawyer, that would be my closing statement every time.
Jeremy ripped open
his
shirt.
Yeah, he murdered those two guys. Check out these tits.
It would be much like Sally Field in that movie where she fights for union, where she just rips her tits.
Yes. Or the one when she tries to escape her Muslim husband.
Yes.
Like, I believe all women
should be free. I'm not
leaving
my daughter behind.
And these titties. Am I right? And then you just hear, like, the bongo drums of the girls going wild.
I want to just talk about the new face of feminism. It's called Kim Ambrose. Oh, God. And I just worship her.
No one wants that.
So, Jeremy, in a very short period of time, you have went from being possibly a backup for me and somebody who would have to learn my part, which is not too terribly hard, but... He believes in you, and I don't know why, but...
I am riding your coattails as best as I can. So.
But now, on top of that, you are actually written in as a legit character.
That's very exciting.
And on top of that, you are now the clown face of the new logo that's coming out for the Halloween show called, Halloween Whodunit. And Jeremy is part of the logo for that. So Jeremy is completely an integral part of the show.
Moving on up.
And you're going to be in the Halloween show that we're writing right now, and that will be coming out in the fall this year. Die Laughing Productions, guys, you got to check it out.
I am gonna hold back so hard, but I want to bring a spade. So, and that's a name for a shovel.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your one black friend. Okay, I was very confused. by the way, Jeremy,
thank you, KG.
Jeremy, this wouldn't be the first time you've ever been on stage with Die Laughing Productions.
Correct.
Because if we go back and we hop in the time machine, Sing for Your Life, I think it was.
I think it was Superhero.
You think it was Superhero Homicide?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, once again, took it upon himself to come up on stage while we were all having most of the Die Laughing Productions now have a dance number that is involved with them. And when the dance number kicks, we all kind of have this choreographed dance with each other. And Jeremy came up on stage with the infamous horse mask, which is very popular on the internet.
Unicorn.
And he started dancing with all of us on stage.
Somebody, I don't know, involved in the production or somebody at Magoobie said, you need to go up on there on stage. And I thought it was involved in the production or something, but who knows?
Oh, sure. They suggested it, but you brought a horse mask.
Yeah. Unicorn.
You were prepared for this.
Unicorn.
By the way,
unicorn.
You looked like you fit in, but as soon as we got off stage, Justin goes, just to sell your thing with Justin, was like, was that your fucking brother who came up there with a goddamn horse mask? The hell is wrong with you?
No.
Like, what is wrong with him? Does he think it's a good idea? So
now here's an indicator. Here's an indicator of how fucked up my childhood was. Okay, you know about me that I grew up in a funeral home. My family's run a funeral home. I lived in it for a long time. My mother's situation is fucked up. Got a lot of weird stories. Here's an indicator of how fucked up my life is. I did not expect to see Jeremy not only there, but then on stage in a horse mask. I saw him in the lobby. I was like, hey, Jeremy, what's up? And then during the show, we were in the midst of our dance. I turned behind me like, there shouldn't be anyone next to me. I'm on the end. And there was a man in a horse mask. And the first thing popped in my head was, oh no, that's just Jeremy. And just kept on going. Just kept right the fuck on going.
And the worst part is that you're pregnant and I stab your pregnancy with my unicorn tusk.
Tusk. I liked how comfortable you were with it, and you kind of calmed Justin down, because Justin, you know what?
I feel like I'm the perfect buffer for his anxiety with Justin.
You kept him from running out of there at full speed.
Like, if I'm not... It's like when you're afraid to go on a roller coaster and little kids in front of you aren't scared, and you're like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Like, I feel like I'm the buffer. Like, dude, it's Jeremy. Just shut the fuck up. It's fine.
I will taser him if I have to.
Yes, he came to your place of business dressed as a murder clown, but that doesn't mean he's a threat to you.
I can remember the online.
Jeremy, what goes through your brain when you got there? Was it this random Magoobies person who worked there that definitely exists and is not in your head? What goes through your brain when you were like, I'm gonna bring this unicorn mask and we'll see what happens?
You
never know when you need a unicorn mask. You know, whether you're going to church. Or whether you're going to DMV, like, maybe now's a good time to wear a unicorn mask. Or maybe have some roofies, or you can have some sex with some women that are asleep because they had some roofies. I'm Bill Cosby, Magism.
You know, the Magoobies employee. She's got that long white dress. She's kind of see-through. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
works in the kitchen, floats through walls.
Can you smell this for me? Does this smell like chloroform? Sorry.
So, all this has been said, and I need to give you the last part about what Joe Robinson said to me, okay?
Please.
He's just like, listen, we're thinking about bringing your brother on as the backup, okay? We're thinking about bringing him on. And I reassure him, yes, I think he could do that, and he would nail it. He's not as talented as me, clearly,
but truly,
you know, we know he can handle it, right? And then he's like, all right, listen, like, but can he do the songs? Can he do that? I'm like, yeah, he's okay musically. He'll be able to do, can he do the fucking fuck doll song? Can he do the fuck doll song and play the guitar? I was like, yeah, he can do it with like 2 hours of practice. So I'll make sure he's ready.
Eric, you are irreplaceable. Without you, who's going to sing the song about the fuck doll?
Exactly. So he then prefaces me with this warning. He's like, all right, we're going to bring him on. But listen, I need him to be fucking scripted. I need him to do just what you do. If any of this rape shit comes out that he's into, if he decides to take liberties, and start making these fucking rape jokes constantly, he's just like, you understand, it hurts our brand. You get that, right? Like,
it hurts our brand a lot. We're trying to sell t-shirts here, goddammit.
Yeah, he can't have this little thing in the back of his head. He's like, I'm going to sneak in a rape joke real quick. It's like, that's not going to work for the production. You understand that, right? I was like, listen, Jeremy's goddamn X Factor, and I can't tell right. you. Like, you're trying to see, you're like, hey, we want to bring in a tornado,
sure.
and we don't want it to destroy anything. Yes. Then you're out of your goddamn mind. He's
Here's
going
what
to
we're
do
thinking.
Something
Here's what
that is
thinking.
Unpredictable.
I am the rocket of the Guardians of the Galaxy that's going to steal the fucking things that the gold people don't want fucking stolen, and then we're going to fuck up the whole galaxy. So.
I feel like if we could just bring in Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I'm going to request that beer not be sprayed everywhere. Do you think we could handle that? That he doesn't come in with huge truckfuls of beer and just sprays them all over the place? That'd be great.
No, that's what you want out of Stone Cold. What you don't want Stone Cold to do is spray you with beer and then also rape you. Like, that's all we're asking. It's not a lot, but at the
Maybe
same...
Maybe you.
It's not a lot to ask.
In the back of my mind, I was just like, Joe, I can't promise you he's not going to rape somebody.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst part that I had to tell him. And at the same time, Joe weighed his options. He's like, it's probably the best person we can get for the role. If I'm being honest with myself.
Well, look, rape is a horrible thing, and it's really one of the worst things next to murder that can happen to you.
I say it's worse than murder.
But if it's from a really cool celebrity, then there's a question of, like, how bad is the rape? Because if it was Steve Austin,
I'm the goddamn WWE champion of anal.
That's almost like getting raped from the guy from like the Shawshank.
So what
you know?
You're saying is instead of what's his name, Matt Dillon in Pulp Fiction, if it was Stone Cold Steve Austin behind Ving Rhames, you'd be like, this is just a fun time. This is just a party between two bros.
Did you say Matt Dillon from Pulp Fiction?
What's his name? The guy that was in the mask.
Yes.
The Gimp?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, who raped Ving Rhames. We all know about it.
By the way, once again, quality time facts. We're laying them down on
Scientific
you.
Facts.
I think you're thinking of Yardley Smith. She's the one that raped.
Yeah, Yardley Smith. Yeah, that's...
Here's what I'll tell you. It don't make me no never mind. Is how I feel about it.
All right, so...
You know, that guy that got, you know, like 25 years ago paid way more money than my parents will ever make to fake rape Ving Rhames. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we've been on a trip, guys. And now Come fall, you're going to see Jeremy Woodworth live in action in living fucking
color.
Last
year on Earth before I die and give my... I've signed off the papers, and as soon as I die, I'm giving my heart to a chimp.
Is this weird, Jeremy? Nice. I'm not going to tell you who has money on what, but I will tell you there's an open bet between me and our younger sister, Rachel, to guess who is going to die before you and our 90-year-old grandmother at this point. And I'm not going to tell you who has money on who. I'm not going to say that.
I already asked Rachel that if I die, she'll change her name to Rape-chel.
Thank you.
That's by the way, my next cat.
That is the name of this episode is Rape-chel.
Rape-chel
is the
my
name
younger
of
sister Rape-chel.
Episode 42, Rape-chel. That is
there's only one thing I ask. If I die, you'll change your name
to Rape-chel.
To Rape-chel.
Okay.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
I was going to call myself Forcible Sex with Shaq, but thank you. I appreciate that you chose Rape-chel. It's a much better choice.
It flows better. I like it.
That was the beer. That wasn't me.
I know. Jeremy loves to shake the table like this, where it makes lots of noise. And you know what? I've grown to accept that.
Elfin lied.
Let me say this. Last night was the second Saturday shit show at Autobar, and it was fucking awesome.
All right.
So Eric Frost was the headliner. He is a Baltimore-bred comedian who now lives in D.C., so it was really cool what he decided to do, which was he came back to Baltimore, and Autobar is a very Baltimore-type venue for comedy, for music, for everything. It's just very Baltimore. It's very welcoming. It's very bare bones. It's absolutely perfect.
How long have you guys been running that show?
5 years now.
Wow, that's
and,
so crazy.
Yeah, right? And Eric decided to tape his set, which was really cool.
Oh, awesome.
So
yeah, we had
like cameras. They got the whole thing. Valance Michael Presley came up and did his character, Rusty Bridges, which was
I saw pictures of that.
Oh my God. He has a problem. He has a legitimate problem. Rusty might get bigger than Valance.
Yeah. Honestly, I've never seen Rusty Michaels, and I haven't seen
Rusty
Bridges.
Valance.
I haven't seen Valance in like since Coco Lane died, and I didn't know Valance still did comedy, and I'm very excited that he is still around here. And Valance, if you're listening to the show, which clearly you are, I mean, we're the number one insider story trading of the podcast world now. Reach out. Can we just do a show together?
I know.
Can we just hang out?
Love Valance. Him.
Can I tell you a funny story about Valance Michael? I did a show in Westminster with a horrible person, comedy promoter named Bob, who ran a show up at what is it? Bellissimo's, up in Westminster, Maryland, which is the equivalent of name your major city and then name the bumfuck shithole town that is 90 minutes away from that, and that's what Bellissimo's is. Uh-huh. Okay, so Bellissimo's is there, and I'm headlining the show with, I don't like to brag, but Valance Michaels is one of the openers for it, and Valance and me are hanging out in the parking lot with a couple of the other comics, right? And we're sitting there, and Valance thinks it's going to be a cool idea because we're both wrestling fans and we're kind of talking about professional wrestling, that he's going to throw a super kick on this other comedian who is there, and he goes to throw up his leg. And the trick to throwing a good super kick, okay, to make it look like it's a legit sidekick that hits somebody, is that you throw a kick high near somebody's face and then you slap your leg so it sounds like it just fucking smacks them real good. So if you ever watch wrestling, people love super kicks because it always gets a really good, like, oh, like
it's a
this
visual,
because
yeah,
it's like a it's big totally body fake motion, and then they slap themselves
the
at the
timing
same time, and you hear the sound, and you do that, and you're like, pooh, oh, he fucking got it right in the chops.
Nailed
right
it.
So Valance gets this idea that he's just going to, without telling anybody, without notifying one person, he goes and tries to super kick this other comedian in the face. And it's, I don't know if it was the combination between A, his Chuck Taylors, or B, the fact that his pants were just a hair too tight. Not, I don't want to say they didn't fit, but they were just a little, put it like this, you couldn't do a split over 3 foot wide in these
there
pants,
there was no
right?
room for super kicks.
There's no room for super sidekicks in these pants. He goes to throw this kick out, and he's decided in his mind that this kick is going fucking eyeball level, okay?
Oh, God.
He's decided this kick is going to go eyeball level or higher. He throws this kick out and then slaps himself like this, and his bottom leg completely comes out from underneath him, okay?
Oh, no.
And then he goes sideways, vertical. So it has gone from super kick to complete drop kick. He fucking falls, boom, splat on the ground,
oh,
fucking concrete.
God,
and we're legitly worried about his well-being at this point. We're looking at him like, well, we don't have an opener anymore, and balance has been destroyed. So... And at the same time, in the back of my head, nothing against Valance. I think he's hilarious. I'm going, sweet, this show is going to get to my part 15 minutes early.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, so Valance does this super kick, busts his ass, falls on the ground, and then gets up very embarrassed. And he's just like, I'm fine, everybody. I went too hard for the super kick. And it was just a beautiful
I've never
beautiful
seen
moment.
Valance be that physically active. I guess that's why.
It was a strong move. It made the other guy look really strong.
I love him. And I love his girlfriend, Alex Alexander. She's such an amazing photographer and just person and
right?
poet. And just a fucking great, I love her so much.
God damn it. I want Rusty Bridges in my life. Okay?
God, Rusty Bridges is amazing. And his Instagram is called, his Instagram handle is 1-800-BOOK-RUSTY. And I was like, if Rusty gets more successful than Valance, it means that Valance needs to take marketing skill tips from the character he created.
Exactly. You know what? If I were to describe to you what Rusty Bridges looks like, if you went back to 90s rap videos and looked at anybody who was a quote unquote joke producer in any of those videos, like, you need to sign with my label or whatever, that's Rusty Bridges.
Joke
what
ass,
he looks
broke
like.
Ass, yeah. Chicken headed ass, lying, no, can't be trusted. Motherfucking producer.
It is a beautiful thing to see.
Shiny hair, glasses, no eye contact.
Exactly. Look up Valance Michael on Twitter, everybody, we're getting at.
I felt so black this week. You don't even know how black I felt.
How's that feel?
How black did you feel?
I felt like, I work in theaters and I work just outside whatever movie theater I'm working. And this week it was All Eyes on Me. That's right, the Tupac film. Oh my gosh. And believe you me, I am no gangster rapper fan. You know, between Biggie and Tupac, I had no idea. Because, you know, Maryland does not know how to party. You know, East Coast is not the party place. So.
Depends what side you take. I'm all East Side. I'm all Biggie, all DAY.
But I swear... The second I heard Digital Underground do the Humpty Hump in that film, I am running into the theater and I'm like, oh my gosh, I swear this is the real Digital Underground. And they did it so damn well. I thought it was the real Digital Underground. I'm like, I know everything. Okay, here comes. I like my oatmeal lumpy. That's right. Yes, I know. Digital Underground, I swear, was the best last funky group that ever was next to Fishbone.
Where this is a Biggie house, right?
Yeah. Like Biggie. Yeah. I like Biggie. I like old school.
Well, you
hip-hop.
Like to steal purses. Slap the bitch down and steal her Gucci, okay?
Whatever. What else do you do when you see...
You gangster.
When you see 50% of the population in front of you. You know what? You slap a hoe, okay?
I should like...
I'll say it! You slap a hoe!
I should like Biggie because I am overweight as well. But no. Biggie... And I never knew that Tupac was in with Digital Underground.
I like that you couldn't have said that whiter as Tupac.
Tupac.
Yeah.
How much gum would you like? Two packs.
I love two pack.
How many cigarettes would you like? Two packs.
Yeah. I play Pac-Man and I listen to Tupac. Everybody knows that.
Tupac Man, yeah.
And the moment I found he was shot, I cried so bad.
And how many tissues did you need? Two packs?
Rap would never be the same! Gosh, damn it! Oh, gosh! The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump! Damn it! God! God damn you, Biggie, you fucker! Gosh!
That's Jeremy Woodworth, everybody.
And
Jeremy
come
Woodworth.
See us at Die Laughing Productions.
DieLaughingProductions.com. what do we end the show with this? Okay, if I can give, before we reach the end of the show. Yeah. I binge watched the first four episodes of a sci-fi show called Blood Drive. And before I get too far into it, guys, I have never watched anything and suggested anything from the Sci-Fi Channel in my entire life.
Never, not once.
Not unless I was being ironic. Like,
I've known you long enough to feel like if you were going to recommend something from Sci-Fi Channel, I would have heard it before now.
Listen, I work with Justin Schlegel constantly, and I have his number, but I don't blow him up like that. I thought one of the best messages I could give him would be like, dude, have you seen fucking Blood Drive? Because it is... fire emoji like 10 times.
Yes.
That's what I did.
Yes.
I don't think you've been this excited since we saw On Demand of Human Centipede 2.
Dude, it is... Blood Drive on Sci-Fi Channel is the best piece of programming you can watch right now as a human being. How do you know if you're going to like it? Do a little barometer test to our listeners.
Perfect.
If you have seen the movie Machete, mm-hmm. or if you have seen the movie... Planet Terror, mm-hmm. or Death Proof,
mm-hmm. or the Road Warrior.
If you've seen any of these films and you're like, that is the shit of moviedom, and I think that is awesome,
and you are right,
then this is a weekly series that basically is that. God damn it, it's so fucking good.
Christmas
so when they
every
came
week,
in
Christmas
here
every week.
When my co-host came in, I made them sit down. My first thing I was just like, all right, guys, I know you guys are here. I'm gonna put you into the TV room where TV plays, and I'm gonna put on the first episode of Blood Drive while I set up the show. I will be back in 30 minutes. And guys,
amazing.
What are your reactions to Blood Drive as of
start? Immediately I liked it. Immediately.
During those 30 minutes he was just masturbating.
Yeah, so. Which is fine. I don't care. I'm watching Blood Drive. I don't fucking care what you're doing. It has so many things that I love. First of all, the narrator, his voice is kind of like, I can tell this is some campy but on purpose shit. Mm-hmm. The cinematography is really cool. They make it look kind of like an old gritty film show sort of. Also, it has the fake commercials, which, oh my God, yes. It would be like, okay, let's pretend Robert Rodriguez paired with Tim and Eric and they made a commercial. That's what it felt like. It's so fucking good. And then there's like that girl who's half dressed all the time. I'll take it. Whatever. There's a lot of really stupid dialogue, but it's almost like on purpose.
Yeah, it is campy for the sake of being campy, and it is just a phenomenal show. Jeremy, what are your thoughts about Blood Drive Episode 1? Give it to us.
We will talk about double lives. People live double lives in this life. Double lives mean that even though you want to be part of the Hollywood elite, you want to live a normal life. And the normal life is the name of Chris Restivo. And Chris Restivo also lives a double life on the Hollywood acting lives, the blood lives, as a driver with a funny hat on the show.
The scholar.
Yes, there's a driving team. The premise of the show, just to break it down for you guys, is there is a race across the country where if you win it, you win $10 million.
Whoa!
And as you're driving across country, there are 12 other racers. The caveat for this is that as you're driving, your car runs on... blood
human
technology,
blood
on human blood, so you have to feed your car like a human body every
not just dogs or cats
every time you, because because human bodies are more plentiful than gasoline in the post-apocalyptic world. So as you're driving across, there's all of these wacky racers that have different names, but one of the teams is called the Gentleman and the Scholar, and the Scholar is 100%. Chris Restivo, big part of the
big
show.
Shout out.
If you haven't seen...
Seti's totally gay.
If you weren't familiar with Chris Restivo, check out our archives. Episode 41, you can hear him. Also, there's an entire episode about Chris Restivo. Go back there, check it out, and you can learn a little bit more about the man who has brain damage that we call Chris Restivo. So, he's in the show. There's a character called Clown Dick. It is very grindhouse fucking 70s style shot. There's so much nudity and over and curse
fucking
words
straight
so,
up fucking.
It was very important to the plot that they have sex while they're driving.
Yeah, there's one part where at the end of episode one, their heads are going to explode if they come in last place, but they preface it by adrenaline could possibly override it, so they decide to fuck on the last leg of the race so that they can override this, and sure enough, they get in. There's lots of, like, I like that they have nudity in the show, but they black it out with black boxes, so, like, if there's a big dick, there's a giant black box over it. If there's fucking in the car, there's just a black box
That's
over the
so
fucking
awesome.
In the car. Like,
little
they
dicks
just,
get little black boxed.
They don't shoot it in a sense that they want to edit this for TV. They just will, like, oh, we'll make TV edit it for us. Like, we're going to put out the product that we want, and that's what Blood Drive is. The main character, Julian Slink, is played by, I don't know his name, but he's also from the show Falling Skies, if you guys are familiar with the TBS
Rupert Murdoch
broadcast.
Oh, I didn't mention it was probably closest to a hobo with a shotgun.
Yeah,
it is.
Very
right.
Hobo with a shotgun.
We're all dirty cops!
And you know what is an 18th less campy, but very much in the same film style as Preacher?
Yeah.
Very
yes,
similar.
Very much has a Preacher quality to it. So, guys, get ready, because we're going to talk about Blood Drive pretty much every week at the end
like
of every episode.
Lot.
It's going to be a thing. Catch up with us. Get on board with that. It's only 4 episodes in 1 weekend. You can on-demand it on the Sci-Fi Channel and catch up completely with it. Blood Drive on the Sci-Fi Channel. We highly recommend it.
Or, hey,
it
Pirates, use your Cody.
Or use your Cody. We don't know about Cody, but Cody, I've heard, is a very good thing. It is fucking awesome.
It's
you
awesome.
You just need internet, and you can watch anything you want in
anything
the world.
For free.
Get the fucking add-ons. Another funny story that you talk about Cody. Jeremy does not know how to download or use Cody.
That's adorable.
So one of the things that you can do if you wanted to use this illegal program called Cody, which is actually legal, but there's a thing called Cody add-ons that you can exploit and then get basically every piece of stolen content you ever want to watch on the internet.
I keep looking it up on the internet, C-O-D-Y, and it never comes up.
Yes, it's spelled K-O-D-I. And Jeremy... our friend Tommy Simbazo knows how to exploit this very, very well. So Jeremy has been messaging Tommy Simbazo, friend of the show.
I keep sending a picture of my penis, and he never gets the hint.
And part of Die Laughing Productions, that he needs this... He wants Cody, but Jeremy, of course, in classic Jeremy fashion, won't tell you what he actually wants. He just wants to show up and then present it to you.
I need help from you, Tommy. Another dick pic.
Don't tell him what you really want. Just
I don't ever want this to happen,
gray.
But it would be amazing if you were homeless and the way you would ask people for money.
We're doing something illegal. I need help. Dick pic.
So Tommy comes over, and usually what you need is a exploitable media player. The Amazon Fire Stick is very popular. There's
also put it on my tablet.
Stuff there. Kim has it on her tablet. But Jeremy comes over with his Google Chrome, which doesn't work at all. There's no way to exploit this. Google Chrome is basically just a tool that you use to talk to your TV. And he's like, hey, can you put Cody on this? And Tommy looked at it, he's like, this isn't what you use for that at all. You need something that can run applications that can be exploited. And this doesn't work at all. And he was like, okay, I'm really, really sorry about that. Tommy texts me. He's like, your brother wanted me to put Chrome his Chromecast to have Cody, and I was just like, oh, well, I'm sorry, my brother's an idiot, and I apologize once again that he doesn't understand how basic technology works.
If you can put it on my VIC-20... I can still use the tape player to go on my 14-baud modem.
All you gotta do, you hook your 8-track player into your VCR. There's a special applicator cable for that. We can get that. And then you put the VCR, you want to shove that into the wall socket. Not plug it, shove it in. You take the plate off.
Shove it in there.
And then I just need you to take a paperclip, unwind it, and there's behind the you're going to have to pull the play button off. Behind the you shove the paperclip in the play button. And then whenever it rains, you can watch what you want.
I remember in the early 80s when I worked at Blockbuster and you had to make sure all your 8-tracks were rewound to the beginning.
Yeah, don't be a dick. Okay, don't be a dick. And bring your fucking unrewound 8. You think we have all fucking day? What do you think we do in here all day? Just stand?
Sir, you didn't rewind your John Denver 8-track.
I'm so embarrassed. Oh my God.
Can I give a big shout out to Candace Saunders for making a comment on quality time?
She did. Big shout out to Candace Saunders for making it.
And Samantha Kelly.
And you know what? That makes,
and Petey Steele.
That makes you metal as fuck. Nice. Anyway, I just wanted to get a little bit metal there. I think that's a show, guys.
Nice job.
All right, episode 42, guys.
It's like 4 hours we've been on here, haven't we?
Take forever.
Quick heads up, guys. We're going to put a poll on Quality Time on our Facebook page.
And we mean dick pic.
And I'll put it on my Twitter, though, even though my Twitter means
the
nothing.
I'm at
Columbia Comic if you'd like to participate in the poll. And the poll will be, what would you like to hear on the next episode? Okay, so we've been working on a couple things. We've been working on a Robert Englund special. Robert Englund is the actor who played Freddy Krueger, a very popular person. We've also been thinking about maybe there's another local person you would like to hear grilled on the Quality Time podcast.
Brad Hudson.
T. Brad Hudson is another option, and we'll give you number three. Thomas Myers. Would you like to hear Tom Myers on the show? We will reach out to him and make sure
he will be
gets
in full
on here.
Clown makeup and costume when he comes in.
So we're gonna work hard to get Tom Myers.
I'm kidding. I kid. That's what they do.
We will throw up a poll if you guys would like to hear any of those three. We'd love to hear your feedback. Also, you know what we could really use more than anything else, guys, is a goddamn 5-star rating on the iTunes. Guys, if you could tune into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, we would truly and really greatly appreciate that.
Oh, shit.
We will.
Voltron is blasting off.
Kim, where can we find you at?
The Second Saturday Shit Show on Facebook. Like us. You'll hear about all the upcoming shows. We do it every month for free on the Second Saturday upstairs at the Auto Bar. Also at Watch Me Doing This on Twitter and at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. And finally, at Die Laughing Productions on Instagram.
Hell yeah. And Jeremy, anything you want to plug while you're on here?
Midgets are awesome on Facebook.
Okay, and everything else, Eric Woodworth, you can find on ericcomedy.com. Check it out, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Give us a 5-star rating.
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like.